Hello, everybody. Welcome to our Miami Grand Prix preview, our first preview of the year. We are going to be on the ground heading to the race in person. We are just over the moon, so excited. We have so much coming in terms of content and fun things to share with you all. This is a huge weekend with both a sprint for F1 and then also F1 Academy's second race weekend of the season. But before all that, we have lots to discuss today from our experience at the Mercedes WhatsApp event this week in New York City. Chessa basically had to pick me up off the floor after being
understatement
that close to Lewis Hamilton, to interviewing Williams F1 Academy driver Leah Block. She is amazing, and hopefully you all have had a chance to listen to that. We also went to an amazing F1 Academy event last night where we did a short podcast segment, which you'll hear in this episode. So much to discuss about Miami and everything surrounding it. With that, I'm Tiggy.
I'm Sarah.
And I'm Chessa. Okay, background for the Miami Grand Prix. This is its third race. Tons of energy always surrounding this race. Teams love this race. It's just like such a fun opportunity to do fun activations and things that they might not always be able to do. So lots of energy surrounding this. And even here in New York, we're starting to feel the buzz. So we cannot wait. And in terms of what we'll be doing this weekend in Miami, again, lots of things going on. And I can't believe I'm about to say this, but we will be staying at the Ritz in South Beach with Marriott Bonvoy. They're an amazing brand and they work very closely with Mercedes. So we're super excited about that. And of course, we'll be in the F1 Academy paddock covering a lot of their weekend, as well as doing some other things with some other teams. So stay tuned. And for those of you who will be in Miami, we cannot wait to see your lovely shining faces. Our goal is to do a meetup on Sunday in between the F1 Academy and F1 races. So be on the lookout on Instagram for timing and location.
For the circuit, this race is located at the Hard Rock Stadium in Miami, which is a bit in the suburbs. It's where the Dolphins NFL team plays. And the track doesn't actually go through the stadium, but it really incorporates the stadium. It loops around it. And the paddock itself is on the Miami Dolphins football field. It's a super impressive complex. There's a ton of infrastructure surrounding the track. And at one point, the circuit actually loops under the freeway, which is
while cars are driving over the freeway?
They mostly close that part of the highway, but kind of close parts of the highway still have cars on it, which is kind of neat. This track was specifically designed to provide good racing in a modern F1 car, so it's very purpose-built. It's kind of a hybrid street circuit-type track, so it's not on real city streets, but it has more characteristics of a street circuit than a classic track. It's quite narrow at points, so it's very similar to Melbourne in that sense. It's also very high speed, top speeds of over 210.
Crazy. So 57 laps, 19 corners, 3 big straights. It's counterclockwise. And there are some huge straights and 3 DRS zones. So lots of fun, different action on this track. Sector 1, pretty flowing turns. Sector 2 has a huge straight and then a very tight, twisty section at the end with some slight elevation changes, which is always fun. And then Section 3 has 2 DRS zones. So
yeah,
one long,
baby,
massive straight that ends in a hairpin turn and then finishes up with the 3rd DRS zone at the start finish straight. So going to be amazing. The sprint format will be the same as in China. So let's hope this one is as exciting. We're ready. So Sarah, why don't you tell us some tips for attending? You went last year. Give us your thoughts on anyone who's for anyone who's going.
Yes. For anyone who's going, it's such a great race. So be super excited. I think number one is be cognizant of the weather. We've talked about this a lot with Grand Prix of kind of being practical, planning for the surroundings. And it is so scorching hot. So be ready with dressing appropriately. And sunscreen is a huge one. And practical footwear, because there's definitely a lot of walking involved. I think plan a lot of time to get there early, because out of the races I've been to, this circuit has, I think, one of the best fan experiences in general admission. No matter where your ticket is, there's a ton to walk around and see. You can walk all the way around to the marina, that kind of infamous fake water area. There's a lot of cool pop-ups over there. And then you can walk all the way to the far other side of the circuit, kind of by the Hard Rock Beach Club, and see that. There's a ton to see. So try to get there early and wear sneakers, unlike me last year, if you already know.
Sarah literally wore little heels when she was doing her hot lap, and I showed the video to my entire family, and they were like, is she okay?
You do not look like a race car driver, but that's okay. We love you for it.
Yeah. Sarah, what's the deal with bags?
So there are bag restrictions. So check the exact dynamics, the
dimensions.
There are bag restrictions. It's a bags cannot be over, I think, 12 inches wide. And at that dimension, they have to be sheer. So definitely check the bag rules. Make sure you're bringing something small and compact. Last year, we were okay with just kind of small shoulder bags, but definitely be cognizant of that.
We will be wearing our sheer gear bags, which is so exciting. Hopefully you all saw that collab, but we can't wait. For last year's race, so Miami was hot last year, and we're expecting the same this year. We actually had an amazing starting grid after quali. We had Checo, Alonso, Sainz, and K-Mag starting on the front two rows, which who would have thought? It was a movie we have seen before, though, because despite starting P9, this was a classic Max Verstappen domination story where he drove to victory, but at least it was fun to watch.
I don't know how fun that is, but whatever.
I always love when a driver fights through the field, no matter how good they are. Behind Max, though, we had Checo in P2, Alonso P3 to round out that podium. And then this is sort of the point of the season where Max started to pull away more convincingly from Checo in the Drivers' Championship. At the beginning of last year, if we remember, it was actually pretty close for the first several races. So this is kind of the mark in the sand where Max started to drive off into the distance. But some other highlights, Lewis had a P13 to P6 drive. But despite the heat and the fun track, there was relatively low drama. This race had no DNFs, didn't even have a yellow flag, which is very rare. So I think the big question of last year versus this year is, will we be having the same NF style walkout as we did last year? It was definitely very American and controversial. So we'll see what they decide to do this year.
Sarah, when you were there and the drivers were doing like the NFL style walkouts, like obviously you weren't there watching it, but people at the track knew. What was people's reaction to having all of these drivers in like NFL costumes, or I guess uniforms?
NFL costumes.
I think people were entertained, but definitely I think people were intrigued by the whole pre-race show. But I think it might have been, the energy was amazing at the track. Everyone was so excited. I was in a big Checo grandstand to watch the actual race. But so I think a lot of the criticism was more from people who weren't there, because energy was pretty fun there. I think people were a little bit like, what's going on? But
okay, well, we'll bring the energy, Avi, no matter what they choose to do. Okay, let's talk about teams. For Red Bull, the biggest topic of conversation is Adrian Newey, their chief designer. Remember, he's the one that's been largely credited with much of Red Bull's success in recent years. So he will be leaving Red Bull. It was announced last week amidst internal struggles. He may have a non-compete clause for the season. We have to see about that. But what do you guys think? Why do you think he made the move? Where do you think he's going? And do you think Max will follow him? Dun, dun, dun.
Sarah, you go first because you are the Red Bull queen.
Yeah, this is wild. It's so interesting. I think it completely makes sense for him because from his perspective, as a Red Bull fan, very sad to see him go. But from his perspective, he has built one of the best Formula One cars of all time for the 2022 regs. And so if he stays at Red Bull, I think anything he does for 2026, that the team does for 2026, is going to be compared to that.
Yeah.
Even if it's still an amazing race-winning car, it's going to be, oh, the 2022 car was a bit better. Oh, Red Bull's taking a quote-unquote step back will be more the narrative. So there's almost nowhere up he can go with the car versus if he goes to a new team, which is probably paying him more than most drivers, like 17 out of 20 drivers on the grid.
Yeah.
Then he can be a total kind of up and coming story of bringing this team back to the front. It's one of the reasons why we love F1 so much, but it's fascinating to think of a non-athlete being potentially the highest paid and most important team member.
Yeah, and I think it's probably, he's been at Red Bull for so long, like decades, and I feel like it might be fun for him to have a new project and something that he can, you know, similar with what he did for Red Bull, like bring them to the front of the grid, especially with the new regulations. In terms of where we think he's going, so my hot take was Aston Martin, but Autosport reported yesterday that is off the table. We don't know that that's true for sure, but definitely is not looking as likely as I may have thought. But my reasoning was, I think Lawrence Stroll has a world domination plan that we've only seen the first couple steps of with Fernando Alonso and Honda and other things. But I think for Adrian Newey, A, they could pay him a ton, which other teams might not be able to or willing to. So I think Aston Martin definitely has the purse strings to do so and to lure him. I think Adrian Newey would love to work with Alonso, and I could see Aston Martin signing someone other than Lance Stroll, especially for 2026.
We'll see.
And I think he'll want to go with Honda. And I think
it'll be a fun challenge.
And I think if Adrian Newey goes to Aston Martin with Honda, I do think Max will follow.
For not next year, but maybe for 2026.
I'm not fully going to let this theory go yet, but again, probably not as likely as some of these other options.
Before we move on from this topic, I did read a rumor that he's going to go to Andretti if and when they become an F1 team. So I'm going to call quick little BS on that. I think Aston Martin is a lot more plausible at the moment.
We also can't move on from the topic without talking about Ferrari. I feel like most people's hopes and dreams are with Adrian Newey going to Ferrari, and I could definitely see that happening. I think Adrian Newey would also enjoy working with two very talented drivers, and Lewis and Carlos, and Fred Vasseur also has a world domination plan. So.
Charles, not Carlos, sadly.
Oh, did I say Carlos?
Okay, we all wish it was like that.
Slip. Okay, Lewis and Charles. But yeah, I also think Fred Vasseur can pull some strings as well. I don't know if Ferrari would be able to pay or want to pay Adrian Newey as much as Aston Martin would, but I don't know if Adrian's in it as much for the money, but we'll see.
I also think can't count out Mercedes. I think it's possible that Toto and senior leadership are so frustrated with the technical team that they just kind of clean house, bring in Adrian Newey for a full new reset for 2026. I think that's also possible. But I really like the Aston Martin theory.
If Adrian Newey went to Mercedes, the pressure that would be on him to perform incredibly well for the 2026 car would almost be too much for one single human to handle.
No, he could do it. He could deliver.
That would be a big, Mercedes would like breathe a massive sigh of relief, but that would be a really big.
That would be wild. And I wonder who their drivers would be. I guess George, and to be determined.
TBD. His name is TBD.
For Ferrari. So big news here is the blue suits. I'm putting my stake in the ground. I'm obsessed with them. I think people had some thoughts around the photos and the blue light made them look a little sickly, but I thought they looked great. And the merch is so cool. The hats, the blue hats are really cool. They also announced a new title sponsorship with HP, which is super exciting. So big news in the Ferrari camp.
For Mercedes, Tiggy, before we talk about the event last night, let's just talk about what we think that their weekend is going to be like. So they are bringing upgrades this weekend that they hope will give them an extra edge. So that's it. Let's hope they have an extra edge. And we really can't wait to see how they perform. Speaking of which, we literally saw Lewis Hamilton in the flesh last night. Tiggy, walk us through what happened in your brain as he entered the room and hit the paparazzi style lights.
It was incredible. Yeah, he walked up onto the rooftop. So we were there for the WhatsApp launch event of their new emoji, their car emoji that is now black and modeled off the Mercedes car, which is very cool. If you haven't tried it in WhatsApp, just type the race car emoji and it'll pop up in those colors. It was nuts. Like seeing Lewis in the flesh with Toto, obviously, as well. Also just seeing the reaction of everybody. I mean, I have never seen so many cameras and so many flashes in my life. I don't know how he lives this
way.
I feel
bad for him. That's tough.
Obviously, we were part of the whole thing and like wanted to take a picture and stuff, but I cannot imagine being that. So anyway, it was so cool to see him. He seemed very relaxed, obviously very used to all this attention. And he and Toto just seemed like they were having a good time. They came on the roof for 5 to 10 minutes and then did some press and left. But they were the ones who pulled the lever of the Empire State Building light show.
It was surreal. Cool. It was so cool. So Tiggy and I were at a rooftop in New York that was overlooking the Empire State Building, and they projected this massive light show on it. It was so cool. But like Lewis literally walked in, had a million photos taken of him. They ushered him to this table that was like already ready for him with like the best viewing spot. We watched the show and then he went and did press. So it was like a very efficient event, and it was really cool. So we posted some stuff on our Instagram if you're curious more about the event. It was very fun.
So cool. Not much new to say about Aston Martin except for these Newey rumors flying and all the Aston Martin rumors and world domination plans that we have in store. But Alonso did well in Miami last year, so we'll see what he can do this year, especially with the sprint as well. So lots to hopefully hope for and wish for him.
For McLaren, McLaren holds a very special place in our heart this weekend and every weekend, to be honest, because this was the race last year where we interviewed our first ever driver, Oscar Piastri, after the race.
Yeah, I wish we had a live recording of our reaction to receiving that email, because it could not have been more priceless. And just our this entire week for us last year was so amazing. So shout out to the people at McLaren, to Amy, to Saskia, to the whole crew. So thank you.
And on other exciting news, McLaren's bringing their first upgrade of the season to this race. Remember last year at Austria was when they brought their first major upgrade of the season to Lando's car, and it delivered absolutely huge results. So we are very excited to see what could be in store.
Indeed. Okay, for Stake, the big announcement here is that Nico Hülkenberg of Haas has signed a multi-year contract to join Stake in 2025 and compete for Audi starting in 2026. So as a reminder, Audi is a German manufacturer. And then Nico drove for Sauber for a year in 2013. So it's kind of like a little homecoming for him. He is 36, so definitely not one of the youngest drivers on the grid. But this multi-year contract, I think, is so amazing. For me, I want to hear y'all's thoughts about what this means for Nico, but since we're talking about Stake in this section, I think for the current drivers at Stake, that's Bottas and Joe, it'll be really interesting. Bottas was quoted last week of kind of saying like, oh yes, I have other options on the grid. So maybe he's kind of like taking this change up from a position of power, whereas Joe was hinting that things might be a little bit more intense for him. So I would be really sad if Joe went. I'd also be sad if Bottas went, but I think Joe might be a little bit more in the hot seat with this new announcement.
Yeah, I think it depends what Bottas wants for next year. I could see Bottas leaving. I think everybody's assuming that Joe's the one losing the seat, which I guess if you think about it as losing, he's the more likely one to go. But
yeah,
I could see Bottas making a move somewhere. Like, I don't know, Mercedes is still on the table. I don't know if Mercedes would want to take Bottas back, but there are other options. So I actually wouldn't necessarily count Joe fully out of Stake next year. But yeah, I think the Nico move is really interesting. It's obviously he's a known entity to Sauber. He's German. I think Audi probably cares about that. He's also a known entity in general. I think Nico, while he's been in cars that haven't been able to deliver for him, he's known for being one of the most reliable drivers to like get the car around the track. And maybe in the first year of new regulations for a new team, like that's what they want. And then they'll have someone next to him, hopefully, that's a little bit younger, a little bit more of a hotter shot. So I actually don't think it's a bad move, but it was not on my bingo card in terms of announcements in general, but also coming this early in the season. So I thought it was very interesting.
I definitely agree that maybe it's Bottas who's making a move, which I've said this a million times. I'd be really excited for that. Bottas is just so talented. I want to really see him in a car that can deliver. I don't think going back to Mercedes is realistic for him, but I definitely think there could be other options, and totally agree on Nico being such a reliable operator. Happy he's staying in F1 because he has the record for the most ever race starts without a podium, very infamously. This was an episode of one of the first seasons of Drive to Survive in 2019 or 2020. So when we're going to manifest when that gets broken, that will be epic.
Crazy. For VCARB, so Danny will be starting the race on Sunday a bit on the back foot as he'll be serving a three-place grid penalty after the Chinese Grand Prix. And for Haas, so who goes to Haas next year? I think my money's on Ollie Bearman now that Nico is leaving that seat. I think they'll bring in someone new. They've definitely, over the past couple years, have had kind of older, more tenured drivers in the seat. But I feel like Haas is more of a, I know it's not technically a Ferrari junior team, but I think it can serve that purpose. I think Ollie may have his shot.
I love thinking about who teams will replace because it's an interesting conversation to be had between do they take a rookie or do they take more like established driver? And actually, initially, my thinking was, okay, like the lower midfield / bottom of the grid teams would take a rookie because it's more of a risk and they probably don't have the money to take always like a big driver name like Lewis. But I think now that you think of it now more, we've been hearing rumblings of Mercedes kind of striking upon Max Verstappen gold, so to speak. And like, if you can get a rookie and get the right rookie, it really plays out in the long run. So for Haas, I don't know. Like, they could, I could easily see them taking a rookie. I think Haas has also been kind of on the front foot, doing really well. As I like to say, they are a midfield team. At least they have sort of like the ethos of one. I think they're really there for a good fight. And so they could take a rookie, but I don't know. My gut is telling me that they might take someone else who's already on the grid. Don't ask me who.
Who?
I could see them taking one of the Alpine drivers. Like, I think there's a lot of shuffling that's going to happen on the teams that, like, end up in P6 to P8, as we've already started to see.
In other Haas news, it's been reported that Gunther Steiner is suing his former team, Haas, over an alleged breach of contract. He's stating that he is owed commissions from his final employment agreement and that the team is still selling merchandise with his likeness without proper compensation. So wild to see that. We'll see where that goes. For Alpine, Ocon placed just outside of the points, P11 in China. The new floor upgrades to the car seem promising, hopefully. So the teams will also be rolling out the rest of their upgrades on Gasly's car this weekend, hoping for good things for them. They really have had a rough start to the season, but still hoping it's up. It's only up from here because they are both very talented drivers, and it does hurt to see them kind of languishing in the back all the time.
And for Williams, it is Logan's home race. There is some speculation that he will be under a lot of pressure to perform because there are rumors that he could be replaced, or the team is looking to replace him with Mercedes junior driver Kimi Antonelli. Regardless, though, we are always rooting for him and we can't wait to see what he pulls out of the bag. The energy is going to be amazing for this home race for him.
Speaking of Logan, so hot takes and predictions. Mine for this week is Logan will score points, whether that's in the sprint or the race. I don't know. Doesn't matter. But at least a point or multiple.
We get off so easy with sprint races because we can just hit a point. We don't know where, but it makes it easier.
It's still hard. Sprint points are only top eight.
That's true. Okay, for me, I'm going to get real specific as per usual. I'm going to say Oscar top five and Lewis podium.
Here for that.
Yeah.
I like it. I'm going to say McLaren podium. Maybe with these upgrades, we'll see. They've been looking great.
For news, the F1 teams have given their support for a new point system for the 2025 season, awarding points down to 12th place instead of 10th. That still needs to meet FIA approval, but teams believe that the current system is negatively impacting the midfield battles because the top five teams currently have a lock on most, if not all, points in a given weekend. And multiple team principals have spoken out. VCARB team principal Laurent Mekies says, if you look at the level of competitiveness of the top five teams and the reliability level of the cars, it means that most of the race you're battling theoretically for 0 points, and we don't think this is right. Ayo Komatsu, Haas team principal, said, currently we have three teams with 0 points, and I don't think that's good for the sport. So very interesting. We'll see if that gets approved, but it does seem like most people are in favor. And in Andretti land, the news that keeps on giving. So U.S. Congress has written to Formula One, specifically Liberty President and CEO Greg Maffei, asking for an explanation over its decision to reject Andretti's bid to join Formula One. In the letter, they raise concerns about F1 possibly violating antitrust laws by preventing two American companies, Andretti Global and General Motors GM, from competing in F1. We're still waiting for Liberty Media to respond, but this is wild. And with that, we will move over to our F1 Academy preview and our interviews with Aurelia Nobles and Lola Lovenfoss.
Women's health is so important, and balanced hormones are key for that. We've been loving Hormone Harmony from Happy Mammoth, who's committed to making women's lives easier. Hormone Harmony contains adaptogens, science-backed herbal extracts that help the body adapt to stressors like hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. We love it because it helps us maintain optimal hormone levels and supports our mood and general well-being. There is a reason that one bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. For a limited time, you can get 15% off on your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use code F1RTheGirls at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code F1RTheGirls for 15% off today. Okay, friends, it's festival and concert season, and you know it's all about the boots this year. That's why you need to make Tecovas your number one place for festival style this spring. And don't forget to shop their seasonal and limited edition offerings, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. We love Tecovas. They have a first wear comfort, which basically means there's no break-in period. It's the best thing ever. So stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, and shop new styles. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized, and with regular live music and events, there's really no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it to a store though, just visit tecovas.com, tecovas.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and they ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
So for the weekend format, this weekend we'll see two practice sessions on Friday, followed by a qualifying session in the first race on Saturday, and the second and final race of the weekend on Sunday. The way that quali times are used to set the starting grid for the race is quite unique, and it's fun in terms of helping to mix things up. So for race one, the grid is determined by each driver's fastest lap time, like in F1. For race two, the driver's second fastest laps will set the starting order. So that's really fun. Drivers get 2 points for starting on pole, and points are awarded to the top 10 finishers. And if the fastest lap is set by a driver in the top 10, she will get an additional point, similar to F1. In terms of current standings, so we have Abby Pulling with 44 points after taking a P2 and a win in Jeddah. We have Maya Wuch in P2 with 33 points after podiuming for both races in Jeddah. And close behind, we have Dorian Pain with 32 points after taking a race one win and another points finish after the first race in Jeddah, which she did win, but then after penalties was bumped back. One quick thing in F1 Academy news. So in testament to the power of F1 Academy's brand sponsorships, we have to mention the news of Amex's official partnership with F1 Academy. They will be sponsoring Jessica Edgar's car, and as part of their small shop program, they'll be featuring the logo of a local small business at every race weekend, which is super cool. So this weekend in Miami, we'll feature Caja Caliente, a local female-founded Cuban restaurant. So we love that. And with that, let's turn to the interviews.
Okay, Aurelia, thank you so much for being here with us today. We are so excited to talk to you. As we were just saying, you've had quite an international upbringing. So we'll talk all about your racing career leading up to your F1 Academy debut this year and everything that means for you.
First off, how are you feeling? Are you enjoying Miami so far?
Yeah, I mean, as I said, it's a home race because I was born in Boston, so it's really nice. And then my whole family came to watch my race. It's the first time. So
they've all come to watch
your race? Yeah, so it's like a special weekend, you know. This morning I went to Ocean Drive. And then, you know, just to...
Did you drive down here?
Well, we just parked and then we walked there, to the beach as well. So, nice. You know, just enjoy a little bit before the weekend.
Getting the full experience.
Yeah.
That's incredible. So, like, a lot of young drivers, you started in karting. So what brought you to the world of motorsport, and how did you know this was something you wanted to do?
Actually, because of my brother, because he's racing as well and he's younger, but he just wanted to try for fun. So I said, okay, why not? Let's go. My sister went, and my dad is a big fan of Senna as well. So we really like motorsport. So there was a school in Brazil for, you know, young drivers. And then I went there and then I said to my dad, oh my God, I really like, I mean, I want to keep doing it. I want to find a team and actually start a professional career, you know? And then, so we found a team and I started in Brazil when I was 10. So it's nice.
So it's been quite a journey since then. So I'm going to actually read because you've been involved in a lot of different series. So besides your F1 Academy debut this year, you've done Brazilian F4, Italian F4, Euro F4 championships and F4 UAE. And I think a few others as well. And you won the FIA Girls on Track program, which got you a seat at Scuderia Ferrari, which we'll talk about. But what was that like for you? Just having all of this incredible success, you also, did a lot of other things, and has it given you an edge for F1 Academy?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of opportunities and, you know, different categories, different cars. So it's nice as well to learn the tracks because I've been to many tracks now. Yeah. And now I have the opportunity to drive in Miami, Singapore, even Jeddah. So it's just so nice. Then the highlight, I would say, it's winning the Girls on Track because now I'm part of Ferrari Junior Academy. Yeah. And it's a big thing. It was a very big dream, you know. And so now it's super important to have their... important to have their support because, you know, it's difficult. You need budget as well in the sport. And then, it's just so important.
Amazing. And in 2022, when you graduated as single seaters, You were only 15 years old at the time, and you were the only female competitor on the Brazilian F4 Grand. That is absolutely incredible. What was that like for you?
I mean, yeah, I started quite young, but it's important, you know. And then the first time I drove an F4, I was like, oh my God, I'm so scared. And but it was just so nice.
Shaking.
It was, yeah, it was so many feelings at the same time, and then I just love it. And now this year, there's two girls in the F4 in Brazil.
Wow.
So it's nice to know that, you know, other girls are,
your legacy,
you know,
is carrying,
yeah,
on.
So it's super, super cool. And even when I go to the track, sometimes I have a lot of girls and they gave me like some bracelet or,
aww,
a t-shirt saying like, oh, you're my inspiration. So it's just so nice, you know.
That's amazing. So as a teenager, it can be hard to forget that you're young and you're balancing so much with motorsport and school and friends and life just growing up. How do you balance all of that?
Well, I had to stop school, yeah, the school where I was going to Brazil, because it's so hard to follow.
Yeah.
But I'm still doing online because it's important, you know, we never know what happens. So I'm still doing school. And then I live in Italy and my family in Brazil. So I don't see them often, so I miss them quite a lot, even my friends.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's all about sacrifice, you know, and determination, and I'm just following my dream.
And they're here to cheer you on this weekend.
Exactly. Yeah, they're here.
Yeah.
That's so great.
You touched really briefly on being part of the Ferrari Driver Academy. What are your responsibilities look like for that?
Well, now it's my second year. Of course, it's a lot of pressure. Also, Maya is in Ferrari Driver Academy, mm-hmm, and racing in F1 Academy. But yeah, I'm just trying to enjoy every moment, trying to learn every time I go on track. And now I'm in a new team. So yeah, it's just so nice. Just enjoy every time.
Perfect.
Have you had any surprising or unexpected moments in F1 Academy since kicking off the season in Jeddah so far?
Well, in race two, I was doing a great race. I mean, I was fighting for top four, top five.
Yeah.
And then unfortunately, I'm not just crashing to me, so.
Oh no.
It's okay. It happens. Yeah, exactly. Now full push.
Yeah.
Lots more done.
What are you looking forward to most this season?
Well, this season especially, you know, learn. I want to be in the top five.
Yeah.
So that's my main goal, and why not better?
It's
I'm going to try, even
yeah,
a podium.
Incredible.
So yeah. Try this week and then we see.
Fabulous. Okay, so like we said, we're going to do some rapid fire questions. Yep. So first thing that comes to your mind. Okay, so you are sponsored by Puma. What is your favorite piece of Puma gear?
Training.
Yeah.
The training gear.
Yeah, or the shoes. I love the shoes.
They're so
cool.
There you
go. Oh,
this is super cute. What is one thing you wish F1 Academy fans or people watching knew about you?
About me? Oh, that's so hard.
That is a hard one. Maybe that you speak five languages.
Yeah, five languages. People don't, like, I'm super shy, actually, but I pretend I'm not, you know, I'm like...
You're crushing it.
Super shy.
Okay, so tell everybody your languages, because it's amazing.
So, I speak Italian, English, French, Portuguese. I used to speak Spanish, but then with the Italian, the Portuguese...
Yeah,
I,
it all makes sense together.
And what's your favorite thing about your home country? And you can choose whichever home that is for you in your mind.
The weather, it's amazing there. The beach.
Are you talking about Brazil?
Yeah, Brazil. Everything. I cannot choose one thing. The food, even the people there are so nice. You know?
Incredible.
Amazing.
I just love it.
And what's your favorite thing about racing in the US?
I think the fans. There's so many fans here and it's so nice. I can't wait to meet all of them, you know, in the track.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Aurelia. It was amazing getting to chat with you and we can't wait to cheer you on this weekend.
Salut Lola, ça va bien?
Good friend.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm fine. And you? You okay?
We're good, yeah, we're good. So you're from Rouen, right?
Yeah, that's
you're
right.
There, yeah, in
yeah.
France. And you've done a lot in motorsport already. You've done so much. You raced in F1 Academy last year for Campos, and now you're racing for Rodin, and you're sponsored by the one and only Charlotte Tilbury in the most iconic livery we have ever seen. How are you feeling?
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm a bit tired and with the jet lag, but all good. I'm really excited to be here in Miami for this weekend with the GP. It's one of the most exciting races, obviously, of the calendar. So, you know, if you would have told me a few years ago, I would be racing in Miami with Charlotte Tilbury livery.
With the lipstick livery all over. It's so cool.
And And you haven't seen the new helmet.
When is that being unveiled? Soon?
Revealed tomorrow.
Oh, we're so excited.
Hope you will like it.
Oh, we have no doubt. We'll love it.
So we know you have a little brother. He's part of the reason you started karting. Yeah. What was it like getting into it together as a family?
So my dad started racing when he was like 18. He was racing go-kart, but just for fun. And he always promised himself that when he will have a son, he will put him into racing. So my brother was like, at this moment, was 4 years old, and he started karting.
Wow.
So he was like this
so small.
And I was going with them every weekend on track just to see my brother racing. And I was just, you know, here with my dad and my brother and my grandpa also. And then just one day for Christmas, I got a painted helmet. Like my brother got a yellow one with the design of Lando Norris, and I've got the same, but in pink.
Yes. There we go.
But it was just to put in my room, you know, to have
decorative,
a... Yeah. But I was going every Sunday on track walking with my helmet in my hand. And one day I just asked, you know, I saw a go-kart with the number 17. I'm born 17th of October. So I was like, okay, this must be my go-kart. I want to try it.
I
fell in love with racing. And then I was quicker than my brother, so he stopped.
And what was the racing culture like in France growing up?
I mean, in France, in karting, you have a level, you know, but I mean, if you really want to go to international races to get to single seater, obviously you need to, you know, get into championships out of France, unfortunately. But I mean, we are a country that is pretty much into racing, you know. We had a sports studio in Le Mans just for racing driver. I've been there 4 years. The only woman of the school.
There you go.
So no, I think as a country, our motorsport culture is quite
brilliant.
Good.
Yeah.
So let's talk about Charlotte Tilbury. What was the moment you found out that you were going to be sponsored by?
All right. So at this moment, I didn't really realize, you know, it was. So my expectations just from rumors were I knew it was a sponsor, so not an F1 team anymore. So we were my thoughts were either Rolex or or I don't remember. I think it was I was in between Tommy Hilfiger or not.
Okay.
And then I was in the coffee kitchen of the workshop in my team just before a sim day, and my team manager told me, okay, I just received your livery. Oh, and I was like, show me. And I found out with the livery.
Wow.
And I was like, there is a very big table where they all have lunch, and I was running around the table like, oh, I'm so happy.
Amazing.
But my team manager didn't know. My dad didn't know what was Charlotte Tilbury. Nobody knew what was Charlotte Tilbury. But for a woman, it's so iconic, right?
I mean, when it happened, like, everyone was talking about it. Not even. It was amazing. We were so excited.
My mom didn't even really know what was, like, she knew it was a makeup and skincare brand. But she didn't really know, like, it was that iconic. And then they started to speak about it around, you know, with friends, my aunt and everything, and they started to realize it was something big. And to be honest, when I found out, I didn't know it was gonna do so much noise, you know? Because I didn't realize it was gonna be the first makeup brand to sponsor motorsport. I didn't know it was gonna be, you know, just me, an iconic livery.
And
then I realized at the announcement, to be honest, so much people talking about it, like media, like even Vogue reposted. So that was just crazy.
That's so cool. And this is your second year in F1 Academy. So what learnings are you taking from last year into this year?
The consistency. I really need to be more consistent to get more points and avoid mistakes, you know. I really want a top three in the championship for this year. My goals are much higher than last year, so obviously But I know I've been learning much, so much last year, to be honest, even on my personal side, you know, that now I'm just giving all my life to racing. This month in April was so intense. I've been like 2 days at home, but spending as much as time as possible in the sim, doing everything to make it happen. So this weekend is very important for me to show a good pace.
We can't wait.
Okay, we're so excited. We would love to do some rapid fire questions with you.
First, what's your favorite Charlotte Tilbury product right now?
I would say the Magic Serum.
Okay.
I need to try that. What's one thing that you wish F1 Academy fans knew about you?
No, that's a good question. I have tattoos.
Okay.
2 tattoos.
Incredible. If you weren't a driver, what would your dream job be?
I would still like to be in 2 sports.
Yeah.
So I would say either a professional ice skater.
Oh, I
or
love that.
Professional tennis player.
There you go, an athlete through and through. Well, thank you so much. We know you're so busy leading up to this race.
Oh, good. It was a pleasure to speak with you.